Right, Mike, you were in Belmullet watching Mayo and Cavan, these challenge games. Is there much to be learned from them?
Not the one on Saturday night, I'm afraid, no. I think sometimes they can be worthwhile exercises and for, I suppose, the management and the players and the supporters. But no, unfortunately, Saturday night, it just didn't come together for whatever reason. Well, I suppose the reasons are fairly straightforward, if you want to be honest about it. Cavan were absolutely atrocious. Not quite sure what the story was. I'm led to believe about 10 or 11 of the starting team from Saturday night will start championship in a month's time against Fermanagh. But they looked disinterested, they looked disorganised, and they scored 1 point from play in the entire match, 4 points in total. Mayo, I think by about half time, I think John O'Mahony saw the writing on the wall. He knew it wasn't going to be a night where he was going to discover any great cures or any great solutions. So during the course of the second half, he brought in 12 substitutes. It really just rendered the game completely null and void. Mayo won the match by 9 points in the end. On the plus side, nobody got injured, certainly not seriously injured. It was a great chance for all of us to go back and see this wonderful €1.8 million development back in Belmullet, which is absolutely incredible. And when you consider next stop Boston, I mean, you know, it really is a credit to them. Nobody got injured. We saw Belmullet's facilities and Mayo got a win under their belt. Apart from that, it was pretty much a non-event.
Sean, it's a nice sight going into the new Belmullet grounds anyways. I suppose that's what you took from it too, outside of the football.
Yeah, beautiful setting, Rob. I have to say that on the way down, it poured rain. And I think that rain went on until the match was well underway. And when it cleared, it was a beautiful setting altogether. You can see for miles from it, and there's no doubt about it. It's certainly well chosen. You might be blown away if there's a big wind up there someday, whoever is playing in it. But the pitch it has Croke Park dimensions. And the players, sure, Mayo loved it because they were able to play the wings and to the full, absolutely. And there was no star. They were all stars. And you see, there was nothing learned either, because even they had Tom Cunniff at centre-half back in the first half. And Tom Cunniff, he certainly looked good, but there was no opposition. You just kind of judge it, you know. They had other changes as well, but you just couldn't judge it.
Well, we do like to talk about the opposition when we can, but we're way too busy this week to try and solve Cavan football's problems. That's for the Cavan podcast, I suppose, Mike, but anything else to look at?
Yeah, one interesting thing, I suppose, you know, the two Belmullet lads, Chris Barrett and Billy Padden, as you'd expect, they played the full 70 minutes, but I thought it was interesting that Billy Padden played the majority of those 70 minutes at 11. You know, Trevor Mortimer wasn't there. He was resting up with a slight leg injury. Alan Dillon was played on the flank, and when, you know, at different stages, Barry Moran could have gone there, Aidan O'Shea could have gone there, Andy Moran could have gone there. You know, Jono left Billy Joe Padden there, and I have to say, even though he was up against absolutely nothing, Billy Joe Padden played well. You know, he's good on the ball, he doesn't give it away, very experienced, and you could see as well that himself, Gardner, Dillon, Connor, Mortimer, they're used to playing with each other, and he slotted right back into the system very, very quickly. If I was reading down the line, maybe looking to the Sligo game, I think John O'Mahony, Trevor Howley is going to be in the corner now. I think Tom Cunniff has one hand on that number six shirt, and I think Billy Joe Padden is making a big, big push to start in the forward line. But next Friday night's challenge match is much more attractive to me now. Dublin, of all teams, to come to Hollymount on a Friday evening. I'm sure Pat Gilroy has never been in Hollymount. He's never been at the Saucer anyway. And they're going to get some shock when this, you know, I can imagine the 10D bus rolls down the main street in Hollymount. I think they're down in Mayo for the weekend. I can't believe they're coming down to Hollymount, being honest, because they're going to play all their games probably in Croke Park. I'd say you could fit two of Hollymount pitches into Croke Park. You know, it's a small, tight pitch. It definitely suits Mayo. I suppose it's almost replicating Markovic Park. But it's going to be some sight to see the Brogans and all these superstars coming into Hollymount next weekend. And I think Mayo are going to get a much, much better, much, much stiffer test. And I think Sean made that point in his column as well.
Well, the South Mayo and most of the county will be down. There'll be a curiosity factor in that, Edwin.
Absolutely, and I think it's great to get the Dubs away from their comfort zone in Croke Park and all the luxury, and get them onto a few back roads in South Mayo and see how they handle. And instead of Quins of Dunconda, they'll have Cheers of Hollymount to go to afterwards and beforehand. So I don't know will the game be delayed because the Dub fans are in Cheers and not making it to the game for throwing time, but we'll see. It'll be one to go to anyway, that's for sure.